There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Talk in the Fangirl Zone, a podcast where we discuss shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. I am Sean Fangirl Ass.
And I'm Steve, and today we'll be discussing Episode 5 of Season 1 of Revival. Now, we still don't have any ratings available for this episode, so we'll get into triage. While Dana's future hangs in the balance, Wayne looks for answers, and M hurries against time to rescue her.
Episode 5 triage kicks things into high gear as Dana convalesces in the hospital. M fights tooth and nail to clear Dana's name while Wayne pieces together that tragic night in the woods. Ibrahim gets a demotion, but reminds us that he has the strongest moral compass. And I was like so heartbroken, though, when that happened.
Yeah.
Triage is an entertaining outing that maintains a steady clip throughout. We open when Dana is being wheeled into the hospital following the conclusion of last week's episode that had us all holding our breath.
Yes.
The scene is intercut with the moments after Dana gets shot. M panics as Ibrahim rushes to Dana's side. Dana weakly tells Ibrahim that M was never here. She doesn't want M implicated in Aaron's murder. After this, M, Ibrahim, Wayne, and Cooper wait in the crowded hospital waiting room. The nurse reveals that Dana's state is still critical, but at least the bullet didn't strike any major organs. Time will tell regarding her prognosis. She must survive surgery first, which has me a little worried, but
yep.
She's a main character, right? We should yep. be good. Wayne urges M to keep him abreast of her condition. He's already in the I must solve this crime mode.
Yeah. Well, the following morning, Wayne meets with Brent at the cordoned off crime scene. So far, the police haven't found any bullet, no discernible footprint. Brent's theory is that Dana and Aaron struggled with the gun and it fired on both them.
What?
Of course, Aaron can't tell his side of the story. Wayne orders Brent to keep him informed every step of the way. Later, Brent questions Ibrahim regarding his involvement. He asks Ibrahim if the latter has a gun. Ibrahim is terribly nervous. He explains that he and Dana were on a date when she got a text and they changed course for the wood. She went to investigate when he heard the gunshot. Brent attempts to intimidate Ibrahim. Ibrahim keeps M's presence at the crime scene a secret per Dana's wishes. Next, Ibrahim and M visit Dana, who's unconscious in her hospital bed. She made it through surgery. Ibrahim is overcome with emotion. He tells M that the cops have no idea she was there when Dana was shot. Ibrahim asks for the truth. M apologizes for him getting inadvertently roped into all this. She explains that someone shot and killed Aaron before another bullet went through Dana. Then M fired at the shooter with Dana's gun and struck him in the arm. Ibrahim admits he's not a skilled liar and is unsure if he can maintain the ruse. Andy McQueen is so good in this sense, scene, incredibly believable, incredibly human.
Well, I hope so, unless they're trying to tell us he's an alien.
Yeah.
Next, we see Ibrahim telling that he lied about M not being there, but only for Dana. M vows to fix this. After all, she's a Cypress. In another scene, we see M discover that the bullet that struck Aaron went through her, too. Unfortunately, it didn't exit, and it's still inside her. Oh, that's going to be, like, tough going to any airport security.
Yeah.
In the sheriff's office, M asked Wayne questions about the investigation. Wayne claims that so far, what little evidence he has at his disposal points to Dana murdering Aaron. However, Wayne believes that the shooter who shot the Wayne believes there was a shooter that shot them both, which makes more sense me saying it that way.
Yes.
He adds that the plan is to return to the scene of the crime and search for the bullet, or bullet, because there's probably more than one.
Yep.
And they can use that to identify the shooter. Janine informs Wayne that Lester wants to speak to him. Lester enters the office without permission. In a rage, Wayne orders Janine to get Lester out. He has a case to crack. Why is he always there?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the makeshift CDC headquarters, Carla experiments on Miles. This feels illegal. It looks illegal. I don't like it.
Nope.
An angry Mayor Dillich confronts Wayne regarding the latter's decision to give his wife the Reviver stamp on her ID. And after everything the Dilliches have done for the Cypresses, their confrontation escalates as both men get into each other's faces. And I really thought it was going to go more than just hurling insults.
Yes.
Dillich vows that this is Wayne's last term as sheriff. He's not going to wear the badge again. Okay, that just was a little posturing. I really thought it was going to be more fist flying.
Yeah. Later, MSK, who's riding that cartoon-watching cereal-eating high to help her extract the bullet from her back. Kay pitches in, but not without vomiting. After successfully retrieving the bullet, M devises a plan to save Dana from getting wrongly accused of murder. Elsewhere, Nella hosts a support group for Revivers. Wanda, the woman from the exercise class on last week's episode, speaks candidly about her experience having coming back from the dead. Damon tells the group about his struggle to readapt to society. He wonders, why me? Nella proposes that perhaps this is Damon's second chance at life. Suddenly, Blaine and his followers crash the meeting. Nella orders them to leave. When that doesn't work, Damon steps in. Blaine insists that Revivers are demons from hell and that he's there to protect Wausau. He also claims he'll send said Revivers back to hell. Damon tries to confront Blaine, but Tyler, Blaine's youngest follower, impedes his path. Damon shoves Tyler, who crashes into a support post and instantly breaks his arm. He apologizes profusely, claiming he didn't know his own strength. Blaine orders Damon to stand. Something tells me things aren't going well for Damon from here on out.
I'm shocked he only broke his arm.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been way worse, right?
Yes, it sure could have.
Later, M implements her plan to get the blood sample from Aaron's corpse. Kay distracts Randy by claiming she needs assistance with her car. Meanwhile, M breaks into the crematorium. She finds Aaron's body and sticks the bullet in the bullet hole after they had successfully got it out of her.
Right.
Ensuring that it gets covered with his blood, Kay vomits again at the sight of this. Because where the hell did you come from?
Yeah.
She just pops up in there. She's like, oh, yeah, he's busy doing whatever with the car. So I guess she figured, why not?
Yep.
Elsewhere, Wayne chats with an unconscious Dana. He wishes she were awake to help him solve the crime. Wayne's vulnerability here is refreshing because he's always such a hard ass.
Yeah.
And in curmudgeon mode. After this, Brett informs Wayne that someone choked Aaron before he was shot. Next, M places the bloody bullet at the crime scene before the cops and their police dogs arrive. They can probably still smell you or see you. I don't know.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Abraham records research regarding his discovery with the sample of creek water. If you recall, algae blooms were growing in it at an astonishing rate. Abraham declares that this creek must be the epicenter of Revival Day.
Yep. Then Wayne enters Abraham's office. He asks Abraham if perhaps the latter misremembered what he saw. Maybe there was another vehicle present. He's waiting for Abraham to disclose that someone else was there, that a shooter killed Aaron and injured Dana. However, Abraham remains tight-lipped. He can't divulge the M of it all. Thankfully, Miles' screaming interrupts their conversation. Abraham and Wayne discover that Carla has been experimenting, more like torturing Revivers. She injects Miles with snake venom upon learning that it can slow the division of cells in Revivers. Clara tells the sheriff.
So messed up.
Yes, in more ways than I can even think of. Carla tells the sheriff that Revivers can exhibit heightened strength in stressful situations like Damon, and snake venom can inhibit them, slow them down. Naturally, Wayne leans into their dangerous belief pretty damn hard after hearing this. However, Abraham defends Revivers, reminding him and Carla that this is bona fide torture, plain and simple. Abraham's a good dude. He tells Wayne that this discovery could easily get into the wrong hand. Wayne urges Carla to pump the brakes on the torture, but she's in the right line of inquiry.
I don't know, because even if you're like, oh, they're not people because they're dead. Okay, isn't there like something you're not supposed to be doing to dead bodies? Like, I thought there's laws and such.
Yep.
After all of this, we see Dana is finally awake. She hangs out with Em while feasting on hospital pudding. Em asks Dana why she was in the woods at night, and Dana counters that she could ask her babe sister the same thing. Em reveals that she confronted Aaron, who insisted he didn't kill her, despite her waking up on revival day with his wedding ring in her body. Em wonders aloud if Dana got put in harm's way because of her. Dana pats the empty space beside her on the bed. The Cypress sisters cuddle in a heartwarming moment. This so reminded me of Wynonna.
Yep.
If you haven't watched Wynonna Earp, go watch it now. Em believes it's time she protects Dana. Later, Lester finally gets some one-on-one time with Wayne, and it turns out he saw the shooter. Said shooter was in all black and donned a black ski mask. Lester heard 4 gunshots. He adds that he saw a flashlight as well, one specific to those used on the force. Well, Wayne realizes that a cop is behind all of this. He tasks Brent with running ballistics on everyone's firearm, including his own.
Meanwhile, Governor Harris chats over video call with Ibrahim and Carla. Ibrahim's refusal to comply with the request from the sheriff, a government official, means the governor must intervene. Ibrahim reminds Harris that he's in charge of the Wausau Project. Harris decides to demote him and promote Carla as the head. Harris is a big fan of Carla's ambitious nature and, I guess, desire to torture human beings in the name of science. She orders Ibrahim to hand over all of his research materials to Carla. That's an ouch.
I'm trying to figure out how she could do it, too.
Yeah.
Because she's the governor, not over the CDC, so this seems really weird.
Yes, it does. Elsewhere, Jesse Blackdear searches through Dana's files on the Blackdear case in the Cypress house. He finds a missing persons flyer for his daughter. Jesse takes the files and leaves.
Next, we see Blaine declaring that to his followers that Tyler, whose arm's now in a cast, will ascend among the ranks. That doesn't sound good to me.
Nope.
Our rock, our fortress, grant us everlasting light, the men chant while one bangs on a drum. I gotta admit, it was a little catchy. Maybe get that song on Spotify. Why not? But creepy all the same.
Yes.
Blaine takes Tyler aside, telling him it's time to get branded, become one of the flock. And he urges Tyler to go touch the guiding light. All of this is just more culty and culty, as I said.
Yes, it is.
Interestingly enough, this guiding light makes the same noises as whatever Jordan and Cooper saw outside the tent on last week's episode. It even has a similar shine. Tyler enters the other room where the guiding light awaits. He looks up. Perhaps it's an alien? Sure looked weird. Tyler emerges with a branded palm. The others raise their palms to reveal the same marking. I guess you gotta love it when you inadvertently join a cult.
Thinking so. All right. Ibrahim visits Dana at the hospital. He gives her a coloring book, colored pencils, and candy. Initially, Dana insists the coloring book can't be for her because she's a grown-ass adult. Adult coloring books aren't cool yet, so they chat for a spell. Ibrahim admits he might be out of a job soon. Dana wonders if he'll leave Wausau. Ibrahim asks Dana on another date, preferably one without guns and murder.
Oh, just so boring then.
Yeah. Dana smiles, noting that he did bring her candy. Oh, those cutie patooties. After this, McCray sits in his car, singing his little heart out to the song on the radio. Suddenly, the cops pull up. At the same time, Brent tells Dana that they found a bloody bullet at the crime scene, implicating another shooter and freeing Dana of all suspicion. So, who killed Aaron and shot Dana? According to Brent, all signs point to McCray. Then we see JP and Brent arrest McCray. JP opens McCray's trunk to discover a series of suspicious-looking containers. JP procures a foot in a large bag from one of said containers. Well, that's not creepy at all.
I don't know about you, but I mean, I didn't like the guy anyway because he just seemed kind of douchey. But when that happened, my jaw was on the floor because I'm like, what in the world is going on right now? I don't know about you. I mean, I didn't like the guy because he was kind of douchey anyway. But the fact that they opened and you seen all this weird stuff and a foot. Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting that. My jaw was on the floor.
Yes,
and absolutely. It just makes me think he was being set up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but that's a weird one.
Yes, it is. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are several other revival podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we hope you're enjoying our podcast, and don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
You can find us over at fangirlzone.com and basically on every social, and we are always looking for your comments and thoughts, and anybody who has seen or read, everything on Revival, I would love to know more. So make sure you email us at contactus@fangirlzone. You can check out our contacts page on the website and all of the other podcasts that we have there, because we have oh so many. I'm sure you'll find something you enjoy. So for this episode of Sci-Fi Talk,
I'm Steve. What the hell? Is that a foot?
I'm Shad Fangirl S, and until next time.